right, so technique. So the first thing, by the way, this is assuming that you have some skills in playing scales, you know, major, minor pentatonics, for example. We'll talk about the specific scales later, but for now, I suppose we'll just use like a, let's say, a C minor pentatonic. And you have to be able to have some right hand technique, or I should say picking hand technique, because some people are left handed. So you have to be able to play alternate picking. So one note goes down, and then the next note goes up, and then down and up. So everyone's going to be at different levels on. But I just went to fret 8, for example, and I did the E-shaped position in key of C. And I just did a nice moderate tempo. That you guys should have no problem doing that. So one more time, let's go to the E-shape so everyone's on the same. So 8th fret, 6th string. And we're going to do down, up. So if you're tapping along, 1, 2, 1, and 2, and your foot goes down, and it goes down on the numbers and up on the ends, then your pick follows the exact same way. Down on the beats and up on the ends. 1, 2, 3, 4, and. So I invite you to, I'm glad that that was easy for everyone, I thought it would be. I invite you to get your personal tempo of what, of how fast you can do that is, and then strive to increase it. You know, mine might be, whatever that is, hold on. So I don't know, this is 200. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I should be able to do it 4 times in a row, really. I added an extra note so it would balance out in terms of 4. But it's not just being able to do it in one pattern, it's being able to do it 4 times in one pattern and being able to do it in every pattern at that tempo. So take a minute and figure out what you're, I'm not going to do it now, but take a minute when you go home and figure out what's your weakest pattern and what's the tempo at which you can comfortably do up and down picking. So it's funny because we're talking about the picking hand, but the fretting hand sometimes slows that down if you have to think about it, right? So all these things are going to blur together. You're going to see. So fretboard theory and technique are going to blur together right here. So, and then keep a log. So, okay, let's say I'm in the key of C. My weakest shape is the C shape. And I can only do that at 80 beats per minute. But all the other ones I can do at 95. So I spend however long I need just on the C shape. Bring that up to 95. Now I got it all at 95. That's all. Now I only have to keep track of one number. And then gradually, I'm going to go to 96, 97. You can even increase it 1 or 2 clicks a week. Think about that. In a year, you'll be double your speed or something. Right? I don't know if that worked out, but 2 clicks a week times 52, that's you'll be at 200 in a year. That's pretty good. All right, moving on, though. Economy picking is not something that you guys are really ready for, but I'll at least introduce it to you in case you hear someone say, does it either of you know what it is at all right now? It's when you don't pick up and down. I'm not going to recommend you practice it, so I fear even to, you know, go into too much detail, but it's when you pick when you play 3 notes in a string, and I'm picking down, up, down on one string, and then watch this. Instead of picking up on the next string, I'm just going to go right into a down because I'm ascending in the natural way, natural flow of my pick, like a chord, is to flow down. And when I go back up, when I'm descending, the natural flow of my pick is to go up. So it's a technique whereby you increase your efficiency by eliminating extra strokes. So, but you'd have to change your whole picking hand, your whole fretting hand, and that's something we come to later. Like these are pentatonics, usually they're 2 per string. So it makes sense to go down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. But this is 3 notes per string. 3 or 1. Let me see if I... I don't know. And I could probably go a little faster than the 200. I didn't warm up on this, but that's one thing. And major scales are even easier because... you could do 3 notes per string the whole way instead of going 3 to 1, 3 to 1. So on that pentatonic, I just did three notes per string, then one note on a string, then three notes per string, and then it makes the fingering all weird. But on major scales or modes thereof, it's a lot easier because... like I'm going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and so my picking pattern is down, up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down. And then on the way back, it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. So as opposed to alternate picking, it's okay, but it's more work. Like, we should watch that hand. It's a lot less work and it can go faster. So that's what that is. Sweep picking is where you have an arpeggio, which you guys haven't even learned yet, but it would be like you take certain shapes and you sweep an arpeggio. An arpeggio is the notes of a chord played separately, and they're way fun, and you'll use them for all kinds of purposes, but obviously that's a bit down the road. Hammer-ons and pull-offs, the rest of these you guys should have. Hammer-ons and pull-offs, slides, bending, and double stops. I'm pretty sure you don't need me to demonstrate those, so let's do them together. How to practice hammer-ons and pull-offs. So by the way, this list isn't in any order. It's not like it goes from easier to harder or something. It's just random order. You guys have been playing hammer-ons and pull-offs quite a bit. The best way to practice those is when you have a tempo that you can't, you've heard this many times, where you can't keep up with the pick. So suppose it's, I don't know, let's say if it's 120. Can you play, let's go to like 140 or 160. Can you guys play eighth notes at 140? 1, 2, 3, 4. You can. No, as in no, you can't, and so you're using hammer-ons and pull-offs. That was exactly the right thing to do. So the no is a yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
That's what we were supposed to be doing.
I want to get a tempo. Since she can do the hammer-ons and pull-offs at 140, I want to go to 160. I want to get to where she can't do it with a pick. And this is how you should practice it. Like, find the tempo first. It's like that. So we already know you're going to be good with 160 because you had to do it at 140. Meaning you couldn't keep up with the pick. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Good. So there's no grass growing under your feet. So let's try 180. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's very good. That's very good. Let's go to 200. 1, 2, 3, 4. So very, 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 very tough, very tough. So if that's 200 at eighth notes, that's also 16th notes at 100. So that would be like 1E and a 2E and... So what it means is the pick can go at 50, but the eighth notes, you can do eighth notes at 100 with a pick. But you can't do 16th notes at 100 without using hammer-ons and pull-offs. That's what I'm getting at. So you practice it at 100, in this case, so that you can integrate the hammer-ons and pull-offs with the picked 8th notes, because that's how it is in real life. You go... No, actually, it goes like this. When the notes are da da da, you use a pick, and when they're 16th, so that's what I want to hear for a minute. All right, 2, 3, go. Good, and you're on the right track. Make sure the eighth notes are locked in. So. There you go. Hear the difference? And another thing you're doing really well is you're keeping the 16th notes on in short, short doses. So the way to get started, if you're not sure what to do, is start with eighth notes picked. Like two, three, you go one and two, and just get those grooving. And then pick like one string in advance that when I get to that string, if I'm ascending, I'm gonna hammer on, and if I'm descending, I'm gonna pull off, so I can get 16th note. And then immediately to the next string. Let me give you an example. We're at the D shape of the key of C, 8th fret, and I'm gonna target the 5th string, and as soon as I get to the 5th string, I'm gonna do a hammer-on, and then immediately go to the 4th string. It's gonna sound like this. Yeah. So everything, if you take out the middle bit, it would be, if you would take that out, those are all 8th notes, and you could easily do that with a pick. Right? See what I mean? So try that again. 2, 3, 4. Could do the same notes going back down, except it would be a pull off. Once you get used to that kind of thing, put it anywhere in any position. And then in your case, that you can, you already know how to do this, you could work on doing multiples at a time, but only after you do this first part. You would be doing multiples like. You're doing multiple, but that comes later. Good. Nice job. Yeah, an example of a double hammer on and pull off would be key of C, E shape. My third finger is at the 4th string, 10th fret, and I'm following the scale, and I'm going to play. No, my first finger is at the 4th string, 8th fret. I'm going to play 2 8th notes. Then on the 2nd and 3rd strings, I'm going to do 16th notes hammer ons. And end on the top string, the first string, 8th fret, and it's gonna sound like this. 2, 3, 4. Try it. That will be an example of a double. And if you went down backward, going backwards would be, you have to do pull-offs. We're starting at the 1st string, 8th fret. 1st string, 8th fret. And then you have to immediately go to 2nd string and pull off. Because, yeah, so first way up was. And then. Struggling with that, it means you're not. It's not really time. You're not really ready for that. Do a bunch of singles, like I said in the first place. One more time on that ascending and descending. So 2, 3, 4, and then. Very good. You practice that a bunch and your hammer on the pull-offs will be way cool. Slides is an easy and fun thing. You just take any note. Well, I'm doing vibrato too. I'm combining techniques. But just a slide. Pick any note in that scale and go a fret or two or three behind and just slide. So a lot of times I just do one fret. If I choose the 3rd string 8th fret, I'll just go. I do that all the time without even knowing I do it. And that's a whole lesson unto itself. Remember, each of these things we could dive into and do a whole hour on easily. This is just an overview, but you got the idea, right? Short slides have one way of sounding. Long slides have another way of sounding. Yeah, and it's all whatever emotional effect you want. But slides can be real. Try as an exercise, try to slide every single note in the pentatonic like. With the finger that you're supposed to use in that scale, you know. Oh, and by the way, you're always sliding under. Well, no, that's not true. could slide over. You could slide from above. But in my example, I was sliding from under. So even when descending the scale, I was sliding from under even while going down. Sliding from above is slightly different because it matters more where you start than sliding from underneath. I don't know why, but it is. Yeah, isn't that weird when you slide? I never realized that I did, but not consciously. When you slide from above, like your ear still kind of hears that first note, whereas when you slide from below, like it doesn't really register as much. Like listen to this. Or like that first. The first way, your ear still heard the first note. I don't. Maybe it's just because it's the first thing you hear. I don't know. That's weird. So anyway, for now, practice the slides from below. Sliding from above, we'll talk about some other day. The essence of it is you pick another. You have to be conscious of the note you slide from, and you want that to be a good note as well. So, and then bending, you guys have done. You know, there's great places to bend. I have a summary sheet on the best places to bend in every position. And you know how we said that each category blurs with another? You know, part of the art of string bending is aural, like to be able to hear the desired destination of your bend. So I always show you when you're bending, let's say, second string in this key of C, 11th fret, and you're bending that note up a whole step, like, you know, the trick is to play the next note in the scale, which is first string, 8th fret, before you bend that note, so you know what pitch you're going to. You know, but you still have to rely on your ear, because someone could play this, someone with a very poor ear could play this as their destination note, and then still bend like this, and they just can't hear, you know. Right, and they'll think it's good, and you hear amateurs like that on jam sessions all the time. They'll jam it out, and they'll go, first of all, they'll bend the wrong note. They'll go, like, play a C chord. They'll go 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, and they'll think it sounds cool, right? But so they're bending the wrong note to the wrong pitch. So, but that's part of it. It's learning where the best bends are, and being able to bend them to the right pitch. And then, of course, combining these techniques are all combinable. You know. Combine it with vibrato and everything. I forgot to put vibrato on the list. We gotta add vibrato there. Alright, so that's a tall order right there. Again, all these topics could be broken out. The next is vibrato, is when you shake a note. Try and make it sound more like the human voice. There are several different types of vibrato. So suppose you choose the second string, 8th fret. You can keep your thumb on and just kind of jiggle your arm a little and shake the note up and down a little. Or you can take your thumb off and use the bicep of your arm to pull that note up and down. That's like a fast. Or you can wiggle the note from side to side and have it be a very subtle vibrato. Yeah, so you're not going up and down, you're going from side to side.
I don't hear that one.
So yeah, it's tougher to hear.
The tone is changing.
If you close your eyes, here's a flat note. So, and then here's. Mm-hmm. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
It's subtle. And then you can, like, when you bend a string, now you have even more control over, like, how much vibrato you can use. Because you've already bent it to a pitch. It's not stationary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So these techniques are all meant to be... Like, that could easily be a whole lesson to itself. How to bend and vibrato at the same time. And it sounds really good. You play one note really well and, you know, everyone's blown away. Remember I said you don't need to learn a lot of stuff on the sheet? That's a prime example. Get a good vibrato going. People don't care how many... scales, you know, you can just know one position of one key, one scale, and you're good. See what I mean? Because you're making it sound so expressive. All right. So that's another one. Double stops is where you play any two notes at the same time. Right? Of course, I'm combining techniques. I'm doing hammer-ons and pull-offs, but if I don't... There's plenty of spots where there are double stops. I have a program I boil down like the best double stops and where they are for each pattern, like the most common ones. So at some point you can learn that. But even if you don't have time right now to study that in and of itself, when you're jamming out and you just happen to see two notes,
so they have to be two notes that are on top of each other.
Any
stacked on each other.
Any two notes in the scale, but presumably you're going to do them on two strings next to each other, not skipping strings. Right. That's a whole other technique. Right. You can, but that's another technique you guys haven't learned yet. Does that answer your question? So, for example, the third and second string on the 8th fret. So, second and third string are both in that C scale. With distortion, I'm using distortion right now a little bit, when you hear one note, it doesn't sound that distorted, but when two notes are there, it really brings it out. That's just a personal setting. I liked a lot of distortion when the music calls for it, but when I want just a light distortion, I like it to be not very noticeable with one note, but crunchy with two notes. So then you can get chords that, sound... it sounds like they're crunchy, but when you play one note, it doesn't. All right, that's just, I'm digressing. But that's all technique stuff. And then, of course, we didn't talk about, not only any one of these we could dive into, but we could dive into any combination of any one of these. And that's all work that lies before you. So you can easily take an hour. I hope this is making it ideas for fun, to have fun. Like, I'm going to spend a whole half an hour on combining... bending with vibrato easily. So moving on to the next thing, ear training.